This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's Resource Center. Now, we're going to be talking about something, I guess, is on a lot of people's minds, and that's about crisis communications and crisis management. How well prepared are companies for any crisis? How does it affect your brand or communication strategy? Now, I've got Peter Peck from Mercatus Plus here with me, and here's the story. Unfortunately, it's only when a crisis happens that we think about the crisis and how it can affect a company. So, and a lot of companies as well, maybe with their just startups and all that, how soon should they think about a crisis?
You need to think about crisis at the very beginning, because they do happen and they happen all the time. So a lot of people think of crisis as something major, something very big, but probably most companies will face crisis maybe once a week, once a month. If they're lucky, then maybe once a year, but you know, to be honest, most businesses will face crisis all the time,
okay,
especially in the service industry, let's say hotels, restaurants, the F&B business. They might have several crises a day.
Mm-hmm.
So you need procedures to solve these situations from the beginning.
Okay, so it's also the level of crisis. And if a lot of things can be managed before it becomes public information.
Correct.
Right? So, and that's the plan, really, before it becomes public information.
Yes.
Unless, of course, it's a crisis of a really huge nature.
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, when you think about it as well, so you were saying hotels, service industries, these sort of things. But I guess, like, okay, I'm a startup, I'm an app developer, I'm not going to think about a crisis.
If you don't think about it and you don't plan for it, then when it happens, you will have to manage it very quickly.
Right. And you have to think, how come, you know, we should have thought about it. It's always we should have thought about
yes.
it. So any situation, something can happen. Right. So even like, I guess, in the case of an app developer, something could go wrong with the tool and all that. So they've got to be prepared for that. And
yes. And also, you know, for example, if you're an app, then servers can go down. There might be service disruptions. So what are you, how are you going to respond to that? How are you going to get the communication out? So a lot of crisis is about communicating the right messages
mm-hmm.
At the right time and the tone and manner in which you do this.
Okay, so what goes into a crisis communications plan? Or in this case, are we not just thinking communications, but management? Because it involves a lot more parties.
Absolutely. I think the first thing you got to think about is people. Firstly, who knows about the crisis? Very often, especially very large organizations, the problem is not communicated directly to the right person. So by the time it gets to the person, then maybe the crisis is a lot worse mm-hmm. or a lot bigger and has blown up.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is you need to identify who the right person is. Mm-hmm. And this has got to be a person who is on the ball and who'll be able to get things moving very quickly. Secondly, you need to have your action plan. What are you going to do? Who are the stakeholders involved? How are you going to manage the particular situation?
Mm-hmm.
And how to move forward? And also the tools that you will use to communicate, whether it's through social media, your Facebook, your Twitter, whether it's so serious that you need to release a press statement.
Okay.
You need to think about all these issues.
Okay. So ideally, you want to get to that point where you don't have to issue a media statement.
Yes.
That's the name of the game.
Yes.
As little people involved as possible. Now, when you talk about assigning who's the right person, isn't it always the CEO?
The CEO should always be informed. But he or she may not be the person that needs to be alerted about a crisis. So, and also CEOs may not be around sometimes. So who is this person? It should be someone who's available, accessible at any time.
Mm.
So that when the crisis happens, that's the first person you go to.
Okay. So do you quickly come up with a positioning, or you want to make sure that the positioning, you know, with that media positioning is ready before you come out and speak? Because sometimes people want instant results, want instant answers. How long is too long?
Every situation is going to be very different. So I think you could have prepared statements,
mm-hmm.
but you need to look at whether they are relevant or not. And sometimes it's not. And also, you know, it really depends on the situation, because every crisis will be different, and maybe what you anticipate is not exactly what you had on paper. So you will need to modify and change that.
Okay, you know, early on you're talking about the right person. Is the right person also the spokesperson, or just the right person to get things going?
The person I'm talking about is the person to get things going and to inform the higher, you know, group of management, CEOs and so on, directors. And also to, it's actually your crisis management person is who I'm talking about. For your spokesperson, okay, a few things about spokesperson. I've worked with clients before where one of the first questions I ask them is, you know, who is the spokesperson going to be? And this is a situation where I'm brought in, where Mercatus is brought in, and it's not, we were not hired before. And so often, you won't believe this, they have multiple spokespeople.
Right.
And that is a huge problem in crisis management.
No.
Okay. Not a good idea.
Okay.
If possible, you should try and only have one.
Okay.
If possible.
So as much as possible, one person, because that was going to be my next question. But also this person that gets things going, traditionally, do they have a particular role? Were they the former CIOs, the operations guy? You know, is, or it couldn't be any. It can be anybody.
It can be anybody, but obviously, someone who is more familiar with crisis management would be very useful. So, someone in communications, or someone from your PR team, or someone who is operations is also fine. But it, they ideally should have some experience with managing crisis.
Okay. You know, we also talk about FAQs and all that. So even at the onset of the company, so these things should be prepared in terms of communicating. And even in this case here, you can expect certain questions already. So start preparing for all these things.
Yes, absolutely. Obviously, you have a standard set of FAQs, but as I mentioned before, every situation is going to be different. So you need to see whether it's relevant. You might need to take some of the FAQs out. You might need to add to it.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, so FAQs, frequently asked questions. We'll talk a little bit more about preparing for a crisis management right after this. Peter Peck from Mercatus Plus is Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
This is Resource Centre on Enterprise. Good afternoon. I'm here with Peter Peck from Mercatus Plus. We're talking about crisis management. And, you know, ideally, it should be managed before we need to even communicate it to people outside. And, you know, we were just saying earlier on, companies probably don't think about it until it happens, right? And that's a sad fact. And even, okay, this is something, I guess, on everyone's mind. And in the very recent case of MH370, theories came up very quickly because of the internet. How, you know, it annoyed me, but how should we address these concerns? Because they were flying here and it's so easy right now. I mean, gone, say, 10 years ago, before the internet was mainstream, it was still more manageable. What do you do now?
I think even before the internet, you would have, you know, basically what is coffee shop gossip going around, you know, market gossip. But now it just, people decide to publish it and more people read about it. And, you know, conspiracy theories and so on. I think if it was me, one of the things I would have set up is a proper communications channel to address a lot of the issues. I think one of the big things that came out of this is that if you have a press conference every day, you are living 24 hours to the next press conference. And during that time, a lot of questions are left unanswered and there's no channel to be able to answer them. And that gap has become a big feat for this gossip that's been going around.
Right.
So perhaps a website dedicated to dealing with, I think gossip is one thing and blogs is one thing. But you do have mainstream newspapers and news channels who are making claims. And if you had a channel that is dedicated to issuing all the official statements and everything is there in the one place, it can dispute some of these there and then when it happens.
Okay, so...
And I think that would also lessen, you know, because this has become kind of a media frenzy and a lot of it sells news. People tune in, people are watching. So, you know, it's tempting to create some, you know, stories, you know, what if this, what if that. So if you had a channel that said, well, according to that website, that claim, that's not true. I think that would just kill the story straight away.
I remember reading about this a couple of years ago in Queensland when they had the floods, and the government actually set up a Facebook page, and all information was there, and I'm sure whatever queries were addressed there on Facebook itself. So, you know, that's probably a consideration.
Yes, that's a very good idea.
That was something that I thought was very interesting. Now, probably when you get to that stage where there are press conferences, are there some do's and don'ts during a media conference?
I think one of the worst mistakes you can make at a press conference is not answering questions. Otherwise, why bother having a press conference? You might as well just issue a media statement. And I think you should always give an answer. You might not be able to give the answer that people are asking, but you shouldn't just brush away the question. So, you know, you can always say, I need to check, I'm not sure, I need to clarify, and I'll get back to you. So at least then some form of action. But the worst thing you can do is just say, I'm not going to answer that, next question. That's really, really not on.
Right, okay. All right. And I think a lot of people have been behaving properly that way. Now, one of the things that MAS did, it was a great job, was with the dark side, you know, with the website, how it was sort of grey, no promotional materials and all that. And is this something that organisations should have prepared or have, you know, on standby? Or is this just limited to the larger organisations?
I think it's very hard to anticipate what type of crisis you're going to have. And in a way, I feel that probably MAS had no choice because this involved lives of people. And the worst thing about this whole thing is that no one has any answers. So you have to do something.
Okay.
And continuing as if life was all normal is not going to work well for the brand.
I know you were just talking about social media as well, and you know how that can come to play. And it's great to have one place where people can all get this information during, you know, in between the 24 hours, in this case of a press conference. Do we then, in this case, when we see things on Twitter, on Facebook and all that, should we address them or ignore them? You know, it's not on the official channel, it's on other people's channels, but you know this is, people are talking about it. Do you then address it then and there, or bring it all back to that one channel?
I think it depends on your brand and the situation. So if you're, if for example, you're a restaurant brand and you have another Facebook page set up to talk about your brand, probably negatively, then you will have no choice but to address that channel that's being used, whether it's a blog or Twitter or whatever. So it really depends. But when you have a larger situation where there are lots of people talking about it, then you have no choice but you stick to your own channels. But it's not going to be possible when a crisis is extremely large to address all of these issues.
Right.
So you stick with announcing all your known facts and providing the crucial information at the right time.
Okay.
Just going back a little bit to the spokesperson and also the media channels that you have, at a press conference, like do's and don'ts of press conference, if you have more than one person at a press conference, which is also not advisable unless they really have something to do with it, you really need to meet up beforehand. You need to get your story right. You need to discuss. You know, you can't have people contradicting each other. You just can't have all of these.
Okay, so we're very clear about that. Now, back to that point about, you know, how there are crises. There are many parties to please. Should there be a particular audience that we should put our focus on, or, you know, just basically in order of priority, how do we know what's the most important?
The people affected by the crisis will be the most important. So the stakeholders. We've done food crisis before where it might be just one customer or it might affect a group of consumers or family or whatever. So that should be your first concern and your first people to address. Then, of course, it goes further than that and it will affect, you will need to talk to a wider audience, including all your customers, your fans, and then to the wider community, the general public.
So the person that's most affected first, that's important, and then the wider community,
yes,
if need be. You know, a couple covered a couple of things here. Is there anything else that, you know, is important in crisis communications that we haven't addressed?
I think one of the other things that people don't really think about in a crisis situation is that many times a brand can change a crisis and turn a bad situation and a very unhappy customer into a loyal customer. So there are examples where something's gone wrong and the brand has turned around, said the right things, apologized, tried to fix the mistake, maybe offered something to the person, and the person ends up becoming a very loyal customer.
Right.
I'll give you an example. Actually, it's my own mum. Many, many years ago, she bought a can of soup. And no, it was jam. Sorry, it was jam.
No brand names to be mentioned.
Yes, no brands.
Okay.
No brands. But it had gone bad, so there was fungus on it. So she actually, you know, in those days, you write letters. She wrote a letter, took a picture and complained. Next thing, you know, a few weeks later, a truck comes and she was given cases and cases of jam. And my mum, till this day, buys this brand of jam. So you can turn a crisis situation into a very positive situation and you can turn an unhappy customer into a very loyal customer if you do it right.
Right, so that's something to ponder on. And we've had many of these stories, we've heard of these case studies where they've done it right and then your trust is actually doubled and strengthened because you did it right and you actually have the end user in mind.
Yes, and also people talk about your brand and how wonderful it is.
All right, thanks for being with us. Peter Peck from Mercatus Plus's Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.